Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 387, stanzas 2 through 5. When gloom and sorrow compass me, the path I take is known to thee, and all the toils that foes do lay to snare thy servant in his way. 2 through 5 of Psalter 387.
wish out to read out of God's holy and precious word this afternoon out of the book of Mark, but before that, from chapter 5, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark 5, the first 20 verses. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting, and clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer Eric and Laura Slingerlin of the Calgary congregation, who have received a well-born boy in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, Maker, Creator, but also the provider and the sustainer of each and every one of us, it behooves us to approach unto thee in a proper frame, with a reverence that is not due unto mankind, but unto the holy and the righteous God. before whom thy servant John did fall at thy feet as a dead man. When thou didst appear unto him in all of thy glory, with a countenance that did shine as the sun in its strength, with hair that was as white as wool, as white as snow, thine eyes as a flame of fire, and feet as brass that did burn as in the oven, a sharp two-edged sword that had gone out of thy mouth, O who is able to still stand upright, when thou wilt appear in thy glory. And yet thou didst speak unto him to say, Fear not, for thou didst dost have the keys of the house of David. Lord, thou dost open and no man dost shut, and thou dost shut and no man dost open. O thou hast the key. That man may be given to enter into that eternal abode, which we have forfeited in our father Adam, and which we continue to forfeit each and every day again. Oh, that thou may give to us hearts that may bow in truth and in uprightness before thee, that thy majesty may be felt by each and every one of us, that we may receive a true humility, which we do not have by nature, and that the commonness wherewith that we do draw nigh unto thee without any fear, by way of ignorance and vanity, and may be taken away, and that true and tender fear of thy most holy name may be planted in the heart of each and every one. O, we come up unto thee in this afternoon hour. It is to hear a little portion of thy holy word, what thou hast to say unto us, but we have no power to enter into these matters, not as thy servant or as those that may listen, for that key that belongeth unto thee. And thou didst say unto that church of Philadelphia, Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Oh, could it be that in this afternoon hour that thou mayest use that key to open unto us that door that is otherwise shut against us and our children by our own iniquity, by our own vanity, by our own carnality, by our own corrupt will and free choice, for all that is against thee and all that is perishing. O Lord, then we need a mighty work. Thou hast testified of it. Thou hast proclaimed that man must be born again. Oh, we need new hearts, both young and old. We need a new life. But hast thou not descended for that purpose, that thou may grant that new life unto men? Oh, that thou may give, that thou mayst walk also amidst the seven golden candlesticks of thy church, also in the days in which we do live with our children. Oh, that the seven stars who are yet in thy hand may be used as an instrument in thy holy fingers for the bringing in of thy church through that door that thou hast opened for them, and that no man is able to shut against them. O Lord, that thou may teach us and lead us into that truth. Show to us our unworthiness. O give us to feel it. Give us to experience it. O that it may humble us in the dust before thee, that we may see and that we may feel thy greatness and the greatness of our sin, that we may see that we deserve to be cut off from thee, to be cast away from thee, and that we may be given to know something of the blessedness of thy mercy. Oh, that grace that is as wide as the ocean, and that may be shown also unto this man of whom that we have heard in these moments. Oh, that thou may grant to young and old that life that never dies. Look upon us in all the cares and in the needs of this life, for they are also many, those that may yet be sick, for thou knowest what goes about. Wilt thou give healing, health, and strength once again? The mother who has been granted to bring forth a man child, Lord, wilt thou strengthen mother and child, and wilt thou humble these parents together under thy goodness, and give that it may yet be a child born to be born again. Those that do recover from surgeries and operations, thou knowest also their places in this day, and all those that do mourn, oh, that we may not forget them, for it is so easy for us to forget, but their burden they must carry themselves, oh, that we may be given to aid one another, and that thou may supply for what we cannot supply. Do look upon all that are old and ailing. Remember thou our young people. When they hope to gather in the end of this week with one of thy servants, wilt thou help him, and wilt thou give that it may be a blessing for our youth, and that they may have a desire in their young life to learn of thee and of thy ways. Our children, wilt thou bless our school, our teachers, and all those that do labor therein, for the welfare of our bodies and this life, but also for the welfare of our souls. Oh, take them by heart and by hand. Oh, do make sin sin unto them, and that our teachers also may be granted that tender fear of thy holy name. Our parents, oh, give to us that faithfulness and that diligence to raise up the coming generation in the tender fear of thy most holy name. Give thy word to go forth with power in the midst of the countries and in the world in which we do live. Wilt thou bless that word in the places where it is rejected, and where those do suffer for thy name's sake? Or then they need a special courage, and they need a special strength. Wilt thou give us to be prepared for what may lie before us, which is yet unknown? But when we see the dark clouds hanging over us, oh, that thou may yet spare us and our children, and may it be that we may hasten for the sake of our life. For thou hast called a lot out of Sodom, and thou hast sent him out, saying, haste ye, for thy life's sake, look not behind you. Oh, that we may learn to flee. before that it is forever and forever too late? Wilt thou look upon all those that do bring thy word? O increase thou their number, and that they may receive strength and liberty in the mission fields and also in the established congregations. Be with all those that do suffer from addictions. Thou knowest also that warfare that they must fight, that thou may teach their hands to war and their fingers to fight, and give them to know that warfare against sin. Wilt thou look upon us in this afternoon? We are gathered together in thy name. We are gathered together in thy house. Oh, we beseech thee, O Lord, that thy presence may be felt among us in a feeling and in a believing way, in the bringing and also in the hearing of thy word. This we cannot give. It is a gift from thee. Oh, we beseech it of thee in thy mercy, that thou may strengthen us for this labor, and that thou may go amongst us from pew to pew and from heart to heart, forgiving all of our many sins and washing us in that precious and atoning blood of thy dear Son, and making us into a new man for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 12, all the stanzas. Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. Chasten sore, I waste away. Pity my distress and hear me. Lord, how long wilt thou delay? And the last collection today is for our periodicals. Psalter 12, 1 through 4. beloved congregation. What a havoc did that first attack of Satan bring upon the creation of the Lord in paradise. That first attack of that prince of darkness, an instrument he was in the fall of mankind. So that which the Lord had declared to be very good now became very bad. Knowledge, righteousness, and holiness fled away. A man who was created in that image has taken a very, very deep plunge. That was all caused by the free choice of man for Satan, that he may be his Lord and that he may be his master. And it was at that moment that the wrath of God, that the displeasure of the Lord was first directed at his creature, at mankind. It was in that moment that man became the object of the displeasure of the Lord and became liable to the rebukes of the Lord and the punishment of the Lord. However, at the same time, that same mankind did become the object also of the mercy, of the compassion, of the pity of the Lord. Not as if the fall has taken the Lord by surprise. No, because that was decreed by himself. But there was before the fall no object for pity, for compassion, and for mercy in this world. And now, as soon as the Lord had called man into judgment, and man he had confessed what his sin was, then the Lord, he revealed that first promise. And thus, before that he was sent out of that garden, then he was sent out with a hope. And thus we may ask whether indeed the Lord actually delights in mercy or no. Whether the Lord afflicts willingly or no. What was that first promise? That was that the devil, his head would be bruised. Thus, that he would be destroyed, and that the power of the temptations of that devil, they would be destroyed with him. John writes, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil." Thus he came here to war. He came here to fight, and he came here to conquer, to destroy the devil. Paul, he says, "For as much as the children were made partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, Why? That we read through death, he may destroy him that hath the power of death. That he may destroy him. And that he may deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Thus we wish with the Lord's help to see something of this power of that Son of God over him who has the power of death. The words of our text can be found in Mark 5, the 8th verse. Mark 5, verse 8, with the context. These words, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." So far the words of our text. The deliverance of the demoniac. First, the object of this deliverance. Second, the power of this deliverance. And third, the consequence of this deliverance. The deliverance of the demoniac. First, the object. Second, the power. And third, the consequences of this deliverance. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. The deliverance of this demoniac was the only thing that we read about that the Lord Jesus did after, as we have heard, he has crossed that sea in that storm. That is the only thing that he has come here to do. He came for this purpose, and then he left. For one man. For one poor man. That is a picture of his coming. When he came also into this world, then he came to deliver his remnant. And he did that work, and then he left again. Is that not now a wonder? Do you say, "Oh, if I also could be delivered, that I also could be an object of his deliverance"? If we will find ourselves among those who are delivered, then we must find ourselves first amongst those who are possessed. Why? Because they are the ones that he delivers. Thus consider this demoniac. We read that he is dwelling among the tombs. We read that he is dwelling among the dead. This is the first work that we read here that is attributed to the devil. How does the devil do that? Boys and girls, he is dwelling among the tombs. Thus the tombs, we have them here too, don't we? Tombs. All we need to go is a few streets away, and then we are among the tombs. That is a solemn, solemn place. That is not a place that we laugh and that we play. No, that is a place where we meditate. We meditate upon those who have gone before us. And we meditate upon our own end. And thus, the tombs. How is it? Would you want yourself to dwell there among the tombs? Say, if we would want to be a person to be always among those tombs, then we would have to make a fence. And we would have to make that fence high enough that they couldn't get out. Why? Well, because when you go down among the tombs and you meditate there, oh, then there comes a time that you say, I want to go away. Then those thoughts of death, they are so solemn. And then you say, well, then I want to go away from those tombs. But this man, he was not fenced in. No, that man, he was not being forced there to dwell among these tombs. But he did that willingly. That is where he wanted to live. Thus, this is being attributed here to the work of the devil himself. Thus we see that the devil, and that he is influencing the very will of a man. And this is now how that he is keeping this man here among the tombs. That was not different in our first sin. Where the devil, he has come to attack man. And when he has come to tempt man, and then that attack was not just upon his mind, but there was also an attack upon his very heart, the affections and the will that lived within him. So the devil, he continues to do in his temptations unto men, but the devil, he has it so much easier than he had it with Adam and with Eve. Why? Because Adam and Eve were not yet corrupt. Adam and Eve, they were upright. The Lord, he had created them very good. And so everything that was in them that was leaning unto the Lord, then it was a great temptation that was necessary for our first parents, that he may get them to sin. It is not so difficult anymore, is it? Is it, young people? Oh, not so difficult. Why? Because Job, he had to make a covenant with his eyes, that he look not upon a maid. Why? Because that disposition that is in his heart. Oh, do you feel that disposition in your own heart too? Then you see how that my whole being, oh, that is bent toward that devil that my father has chosen in the beginning. Oh, if the Lord will open our eyes, then we will see something how that we are dwelling among the tombs, that we are dwelling among the dead. What our nature is freely choosing. Oh, if the Lord opens our eyes, then we see death all around us. Then we feel death to be within us. Oh, if the Lord opens our eyes, then death that is surrounding us, and we feel ourselves to be captivated by that death, to be filled with it, then we say that is my whole life. That is nothing but a spiritual death. That we feel something as that prodigal who found himself in that swine pit, and he abhorred himself for it. It was his own guilt, and it was his own pollution. We don't read that here, but Luke, when he writes of this account, he writes that this man wear no clothes. That is now the second thing we read. That is here attributed to whom? It is attributed to the devil. Do you wear clothes? How much clothes do you wear? Do you wear as little clothes as possible? I have an uncle, young people, who has, before he retired, he worked in the industry where they made cloth. cloth for clothing. And then he said to me that there was an overt effort to make that material in a way that would unclothe a man. Thus, not that you could see through that material, but the way that that material was made, that was to show a person, to expose a person. Do you believe that? Do you look at that, young people, when you go to the store and when you will buy clothing? And do you ask now yourself, will this dress, will this skirt, will this unclothe me? Is it now intended for the purpose of exposing me? This is now here something that is attributed to the devil. That this man who is possessed of the devil, he is being unclothed by the devil. The Lord, as soon as that shame of man appeared, he made clothing. Is the Lord not good? When man stood in his shame, that the Lord covered him. And now what does the devil do? The devil, he does just the opposite. Thus he made first man, he was an instrument that he might fall, that he may lie in his guilt and in his shame, and he would now have all of that shame exposed. We see that again here with this man. This man, he is not looking for clothing, which is denied him by anyone else. But this man, he is doing this willingly. Thus the devil, he is influencing the will of a man to actually unclothe himself and to make his shame appear. Or are we also so influenced by the devil, who is the prince of this world, and all the fashions of this world, that we also should partake in this unclothing of ourselves? Because if the Lord opens our eyes, then we see that we lie in our guilt and that we lie in our shame. Ezra, he says, "Oh Lord," he says, "I am ashamed and I blush to lift up mine eyes unto thee, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could tame him. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains that had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." An untamable man. His hand that was against every man, that area became a very dangerous place. Matthew writes, I believe, he says he was exceeding fierce, so that no man would pass by in this way. Thus, they were all afraid of him. And they tried sometimes, boys and girls, to bind him. They would get a large chain, and they would chain him up so he could not harm anyone. But then the devil, he is given certain leeway, certain permission in this world. And he has the power given to him that he is able to strengthen the physical body of this man in his madness. So that we read he is just simply plucking asunder at these chains. They cannot bind him because of his strength. They cannot tame him in his will. Say, Paul will find himself in that man who was mad against the church of God so that it became a dangerous place. Indeed, but do we ever find ourselves also in this man? Because religion that does not tame our natural enmity against God and against our neighbor, it restrains us. It covers it, and that is all. Spiritual deadness that is not passive. If you look at a dead man, a dead body in this world, then that body that is passive, it is not active, cannot do anything anymore. That is not true of spiritual death. The spiritual dead man, he is not passive in his enmity, but he is active in his enmity. Oh, much of that has not come out. Much of that still lies hidden. It is restrained, but it is there. What do we read? We read in the Bible that man is a hater. He is a hater of God and of his neighbor. Read our catechism. Read the canons. What does it say? Moral suasion that has no effect on a man. Try to convince him with all of the worldly, the earthly, rather, arguments, and you are not able to convince a man against the hatred and the enmity that is living in his heart when everything is prosperous. Oh, then it remains hidden. But, oh, what do we read about Job's wife? Oh, then we have not heard of her before. And then when everything is prosperous and there are riches, oh, then we keep that hatred under. Just let it come out once. And then she says, curse God and die. And that is now what is living deep within the heart of the natural man. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. The devil takes away his sleep. He cries out of that pain, of that unnatural excitement, the restlessness that the devil is putting into him, cutting himself, we read, with stones. What is the devil doing? What is the devil's purpose? That he is tempting him. He tempts him to take his own life. Oh, that is the devil's end, that he would bring us together with himself. Oh, we would say it is hopeless for that man. Do you feel it? That is the intention of this entire description that we have in the Word of God. That we would feel something of the hopelessness of this case. That man cannot deliver himself. How can he come out from under the devil's strong-handedness? His friends cannot deliver him. They cannot bind him, nor can they change his mind. They cannot change his will. There is no moral suasion. There is nothing that anyone can do. Why does the Lord put such a thing in the Word of God? These hopeless cases, these desperate cases, He puts them in the Word of God because these desperate cases, they remain. Or do you ever find yourself in this man to say it is hopeless? It is hopeless. It is hopeless. Hopelessly worldly. Hopelessly sinful. Hopelessly vain. I cannot change it. Or do you say, I cannot be converted because I cannot change this heart. I cannot break this heart. I cannot make it a contrite heart. I cannot make it a repenting heart. I cannot give myself love to God because it is the world. It is the world that is living in my heart. And I cannot break out of this. Oh, I feel the power of death. It is all about me. It is within me. Oh, wretched man that I am, from the sole of my foot to the crown of my head, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Oh, why is it that the Lord puts such desperate cases in the Word of God? That is because He also remains the same. We see that in our second thought. But when He saw Jesus afar off, He ran. Children, you see that man, that dangerous man. No man can bind him. All men are afraid of him. And here comes the Lord Jesus. He is stepping off of that ship. And he comes immediately into this land. And there this man, the demoniac, he sees him. And he comes running as fast as he can toward the Lord Jesus. Or you would say, the disciples, the Lord Jesus, you must run. You must go back into that ship. Then that man cannot get you. Then we see something wonderful happen. Then that man, he comes up to the Lord Jesus. And then he falls before the Lord Jesus. He comes with his face upon the ground. Oh, then we witness the power, the great power of the Son of God. When this man, he is falling down before the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read, he worships him. Or he cannot stand before the Lord Jesus. He is forced to bow. Though he does not bow willingly. But in the presence of the mighty power of God. Then he is forced to prostrate himself. And by that prostrating of himself, he is confessing his subjection unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out of him. That is what we read. Come out, thou unclean spirit. That is now the command that is coming out of the mouth of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords. And so the battle between these two princes, that is the King of Kings and the Prince of this world, that is vying for the life and that is vying for the soul of this man. And so we see here in this world how the battle for the soul of this particular man that begins before our eyes. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Thus the devil knows who the Lord Jesus is. The Son of the Most High God. Oh, he could have instructed the Pharisees and the scribes to show and to tell something of who that the Lord Jesus is. And this man, he begins to beg. Oh, the devil, he begins to beg. He is bowing before the Lord Jesus and he is asking the Lord Jesus what? Oh, he asks, do not send me into the deep. What does that mean? Oh, what is the deep? Do you know what it says in the Bible? The Bible talks about the deep. It talks about a pit. It speaks about a pit that has no bottom. No bottom. And now the devil, he is afraid of it. Are we afraid too? We hear about it, but we have no conception of what it is. But we may gain here a little conception of what that is. When the devil is beseeching the Lord that he would not torment him and that he would not send him into that deep before the time, or he knows there is coming a time, and there is for him no opportunity to be delivered entirely from it. But he is here beseeching the Lord that he will give him a little reprieve, and that for a moment, for a little time yet, he may still remain in that country, and that he may not begin what will be when the Lord will chain the devil and he will cast him into that bottomless pit where he will receive a place which is prepared for him. Oh, the devil, he is so afraid of this. Oh, see the power. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is thy name? He asks. My name is Legion, for we are many. What is a legion? That is referring to the Roman army. When there was a commander, and that commander, he was over thousands of soldiers, maybe 6,000 or 12,000, was not always the same number, but thousands of soldiers, and then they were called a legion. So sometimes you read here that it is referring to the devil who was in him. And thus, and now here we read, it is not actually one devil. No, but there are many devils. There is a whole legion of devils, and that one devil, he is, as it were, the commander. So there is a certain order, which is, when there is order, then there is more efficiency. And so that is also this legion of devils. So the battle here, that is not just with one devil. This is with a whole army. And Christ, he is standing here before this whole army of devils. You would say there could not be a more hopeless case in this whole world. But we see the power of Christ. When that entire legion of devils is laying on their knees, supplicating the Lord Jesus Christ, beseeching him for a little extension of his long suffering. Oh, that whole legion of devils, that is no match for the power of Christ. Not in that day, and also not in this day. No, not a, not if you say, I think a whole legion of devils is living in my heart. Let us sing. 45, 5 and 6. By the hand of thy might and thy anger destroyed, all thy foes and their offspring shall fail. By the evil they planned and the craft they employed, they shall never against thee prevail. 5 and 6 of Psalter 45. The consequences of this deliverance. What do we read of him that was possessed with the devil? And of him who had the legion, we read that he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. That is now the consequence of his deliverance. What a great power of the Son of God. One man, the God-man, against a legion of devils to effect a great change. The purpose of Christ, that is not just to forgive a man. Is that what we want? We want to be forgiven, but that is not enough. No, we all want to be forgiven. But are there also those that want to be changed? You say that I would not be anymore like I am, because that is now the power that we see here in the Lord Jesus Christ's deliverance of this demoniac sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Thus, in the first place, there is a great relief of this man upon the casting out of this legion. This man is delivered from torments. Thus, true conversion that delivers a man from torments. Say, I am not converted. Cannot say that. But I am also not tormented. Is that right? When a man is delivered, then he begins to understand from what that he is delivered. Don't forget that the will of man that is involved in his corruption, thus he does not see, he does not feel those torments that he is in. But it is actually a very heavy weight that Satan is laying upon a man in his natural state. And it is not actually until after a man is delivered from this that he begins to see something of the torments from which he was delivered, because that slavery of Satan and that slavery to sin and that slavery to everything that is vain and passing away, that slavery that is actually a great bondage. But that corrupt will that is blinding a man's eyes so that he does not see it. But Peter, he speaks about being clean escaped from those that dwell in error. Clean escaped. So he spoke about it as being an escape. Sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Oh, how different that this man becomes. This lion, he becomes a lamb. And there is no need for anyone anymore to be afraid of him. He sits before the Lord Jesus. Oh, how his heart that must have gone out in gratitude unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do we read? And when he came into the ship, he prayed him that he might be with him. There you have it. The consequences of this deliverance, what are they? Oh, he desires. He does not want to live in those tombs anymore, boys and girls. No, he now wants to go with the Lord Jesus. He wants to be with the Lord Jesus. He wants to hear the Lord Jesus. He wants to walk with the Lord Jesus. He wants to be just as those disciples, that he may be with him each and every day. Oh, the consequence of that deliverance. What is it? Now my eyes, oh, they are open to see clearly what the true good is. And not only to see it, but that will, the will of man renewed, that he may also choose that good. So David, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell where? To dwell in those tents of wickedness. That will be true of each and every one of God's true children. Then you will not need to admonish them about coming to that house of the Lord, because that will, oh, that will that is changed, and he desired to be with him. Oh, there are people, they can talk even about a desire to be a minister. Maybe, boys and girls, you have a desire sometime to be a minister. If the Lord converts you, maybe even the girls, they would have such a desire, because that desire, that is now what the Lord Jesus has given to this man that is living in the heart of all of his children. A new will, the consequence of receiving a right mind again. and prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. No, he was not called to be a disciple. He was not called to be a minister. That is the choice of the Lord. He calls the one and he calls not someone else. And yet this man, he is given a task. He is given a task in his own place. The Lord Jesus says, among your own friends, among your own family, among that place where you are laboring, he says, then you may tell them, then you may speak, and you may say how great that deliverance was. Or then you may tell them what a hopeless, hopeless case that it was in your life. Oh, then you may speak about what our catechism speaks about. How great my sins and my miseries are. And then you may tell of that great power of Jesus. Oh, then you may speak and tell how that deliverance that has come in your life. And that was so necessary amongst this people. Why? Because there was also now another consequence. What was that? That is now exactly the opposite as what was in this man. Do you know what we read of this people? And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. That is a remarkable thing. Oh, we should not say it that way. It actually is not a remarkable thing, is it? That is exactly what is living in the heart of the natural man. Because Isaiah, he prophesied of this. And when they should see him, there is no beauty in him that they should desire him. And even more we see here, then we see the enmity. That living enmity that was in their heart. And they are not neutral to him. No, but they are praying him to depart out of their coast. That he would go away. Who does this? That is the Gadarenes. Some say there were many of them, they were apostate Jews. So Jews who left the Jewish religion. And now, of course, they had their unclean animals. And thus they were living against that law. And now they come and they see this man. They knew him well. Oh, they had all feared this man. And they see how great a change has come in the life of this man. And what do we read? We read they are afraid. Oh, they have to acknowledge the power of the Son of Man. Of the Son of God, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver a man, not even just from a sickness in this world, but to deliver him from the devil himself. All these Gadarenes, they receive a special blessing. Before their very eyes and in their own very community, this great miracle, which is unknown to any man, that such a desperate case, that could be resolved. Oh, you would say, oh, they will say to the Lord Jesus, oh, come and dwell among us. You would say they will bow before him. They will acknowledge him as the Son of God. Oh, they will ask him, will you come to dwell? Will you heal our sick? Will you instruct us in that word of God? But it does not happen. Doesn't happen. They have that impression. And what do? Oh, they look about them. And they see. They see what they will have to miss. 2,000 swine. Oh, their beloved swine. Thus, these Gadarenes, they have to make a choice. They have to make a choice between Jesus and swine. And they make that choice. Is that not something? And they make that choice. And they choose swine. And began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. The choice of the natural heart of man. Or do you feel it? Does that choice also live in our heart? Oh, how we need to be delivered. How we need to be delivered from spiritual death. Do you feel it? Our heart that is addicted to sin, to devil, and to this world. That is all because we are the sons and the daughters of Adam. This legion that is not yet in the deep. He is still permitted to roam about the country. Was cast out of that demoniac. But now you can feel that he is working. He is working yet, even in the life of these Gadarenes. You feel the hardness of their heart. You feel it also within. They had a calling. We have many callings. We read of the disciples. There was a time the disciples, they said to the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, "Who then can be saved?" Do you say that too? When you feel the death and the captivity, him that has the power, we read of death. And indeed, the Lord Jesus, he said, "With man, it is impossible." Do you feel that? But not with God. That is why this history is in the Bible. It is a warning. It is a solemn warning. And on the other side, it is an encouragement. It is encouragement for the most hopeless, case. Say the devil is more powerful than me. That is right. But he is not more powerful than the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may then your eye and your heart go up unto him. He has bruised that head of Satan, and he is able to cast him out. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou remember those that are discouraged, for thou knowest their place, for whom it is impossible, and wilt thou open unto them thy might, thy power. thy compassion and the pity, and wilt thou deliver them who cannot deliver themselves. Bring us safely to our places once again. Do forgive and take away our many sins. We may acknowledge thee for thy help. Be with us in this day and in this week. Oh, that our thoughts and also our hearts may go out unto thee with desires to be brought into thy kingdom and to be delivered from all that is perishing. Do dismiss us with thy blessing. For Jesus' sake, amen. 426, 2, 5, 9, and 10. The cords of death held me in deep despair. The pangs of hell, like waves by tempest driven, rolled o'er my soul. By grief and sorrow riven, I turned in my distress to God in prayer. 2, 5, 9, and 10 of 426. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.